are some people who don't like that song. I still can't get enough of it. The Chicago Cubs are World Series champs. And I, you know what? I've gone out, I've bought t-shirts, I've bought hats. But the FBI is warning that if you are trying to buy some memorabilia, make sure that you pay attention and don't fall for counterfeit. And to help us with that, we have on the line with us Michael Osaki, who is the, he's a certified official appraiser for some, is this for athletic memorabilia for baseball and basketball? Is that right, Michael? Hello?
Yep.
Is anybody there? Hey, Michael, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm very, very well, thank you. I'm on your website right now. By the way, Michael Osaki has the website baseballintheattic.com, and we've asked him to join us to talk a little bit about how to be on the lookout for counterfeit memorabilia. What should people look for?
Yeah, so there's actually a couple things. One, so most of the memorabilia, in fact, all of it, is licensed by Major League Baseball. So there should be stickers and or tags associated with a hat or a t-shirt, a sweatshirt. So if there is not any sticker or tag on that, it's probably counterfeit.
A couple
other things as well to note here. If you're buying from a retailer that's been around for a couple decades, you're probably pretty safe. However, if you're buying from a pop-up shop, it might be counterfeit. So, again, something to look into as well. How about a price? If a price is too good to be true, it just might be possible, especially when we're talking about autographs. So a team signed Cubs World Series baseball is probably about $3,000 to $3,500. If somebody's offering it to you for $500, it's probably counterfeit. Don't forget, Patty, a lot of these players are paid quite handsomely for their signatures. So to get 18 or 19 players on a signed baseball for $500, that's definitely not going to be authentic. Now, along the same lines of autographs, there's a lot of stamped or facsimile autographs that's quite popular today, and it started several decades ago at stadiums across the country where you could actually go to the souvenir shop and buy a signed baseball that was stamped. Those are not going to have any value, obviously, because they're stamped and not the real thing. So pay attention to that. Somebody may actually try and sell you something that's fake that they say is actually real and authentic. And then lastly, things might be limited edition. And when it comes to value, those really aren't going to have a lot of value. If it's limited edition to 5,000 or 10,000, what happens there is these are usually manufactured outside of this country, and as they sell out, they keep on printing more and more of these items, whether it's a bobblehead, it could be just about a plethora of different items out there for the Cubs.
What have you seen that is what are people really going after? What's the most demand item from the Chicago Cubs World Series?
Right now, it's hats. And from what I understand, a lot of the hats are actually on back order. There's so much demand for hats. And then secondarily, T-shirts and or sweatshirts.
And the ones that say World Series, is the most popular hat that kind of gray, sort of charcoal-looking one? Is that the one people are going after, or is it more the Cubby Blue?
It's more the Cubby Blue. Definitely Cubby Blue. The gray is more of a neutral color, and that is popular, Patty, but everybody wants the Cubby Blue.
I got to tell you, I actually, this is Scott Stanis, and I was looking at, I've been looking for a Cubs cap with the World Series patch on the side. Can't find it.
Yeah, you know what, Scott? You're not the only one.
Apparently.
As I was saying, you know, it's on backward. It's just, you know, this is really, obviously, they haven't won in 108 years, and just everybody's trying to clamor to buy these hats, and especially now with the holiday season coming up, this is the number one gift that a lot of people are trying to buy their loved ones or grandson a hat, and they just can't seem to find it.
I actually can ask a person.
Yes.
It's got a little ways from the Cubs, but I was at a church auction and there was a signed hockey puck, and it was connected with a front row seats on the glass. I didn't bid on those, but the person who won it said, "Do you want the puck?" I said, "That'd be fantastic. It's over my desk at home. It's fantastic." But then I went online and kind of looked at his signature, and it's a very different signature. Is that unusual for someone else to sign for the guy, or what am I looking at here? Because it's definitely not his signature.
Yeah, so it's tough to say exactly if what you have is real or not without seeing a photo, but I would say clubhouse signatures, which is basically a guy in the clubhouse, and it could be, you know, hockey, football, baseball. That originated quite a long time ago, actually, about 80 or 90 years ago in baseball, whereas you would have guys that are really popular, so the Babe Ruth, the Lou Gehrig, and the demand was so intense that there would be a guy in the clubhouse that would sign autographs on their behalf and give them to young kids. And that wasn't done to dupe people. It was just done because, you know, there was a lot of fans and they wanted to make them happy. And in order to do that, they would have a guy that would sign their names. Additionally, Lou Gehrig, his wife, Eleanor, she was quite a prolific signer on the behalf of Lou. So here we are today, and there are a ton of Lou Gehrig autographs signed by his wife, Eleanor.
Well, Joe Jackson was the same way, right? Because he was fairly illiterate, and my understanding was his wife signed a lot of his memorabilia as well.
Yeah, exactly. So he was illiterate, exactly. Couldn't read, could barely write. And so today, anytime you actually find a real, authentic, signed anything from Joe Jackson, it's worth a small fortune.
Wow.
And now you know,
Patty. I had no idea. I mean, I knew, right, that there are items. And Michael, by the way, we're talking to Michael, and you can contact him if you have any questions about sports memorabilia at michael@baseballintheattic.com. And again, you know, you started out with baseball cards. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. So about 19 years ago, my grandfather, for my birthday, he bought me a shoebox full of old baseball cards. Up until that point, I was jumping on my bicycle and going to the local grocery store and pharmacy, but I was buying all the modern cards. But inside that shoebox, the cards were really old, from the 50s and the 60s, and it got me on the hunt of not only trying to find more of those old cards, but learn about the history associated with all those ball players. So that's how it started back then, and it's kind of morphed into what it is today. As you were saying at the top, Patty, I am a certified appraiser across all sports, vintage sports. I also am a thought leader. I do a lot of writing for Kiplinger's and Parade Magazine and Huffington Post and American Legion Magazine as well.
I'm sorry. I just got distracted by looking at this page you have with the 1933, is it Gaudi, and 1941 Playball pictures?
Yeah, yeah. Those are some great cards, very colorful. That those cards you're looking at, the 33 Gaudi, there's 240 cards in that set, but it's littered with Hall of Famers. There are four Babe Ruth cards in that set, two Lou Gehrig cards, and the color.
Mel Ott. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's just that set. It's funny how you keyed on that, because today that is one of the top collecting sets across all sports, that 33 Gaudi set.
How much would that go for?
So a complete 33 Gaudi set, the value really depends on condition. So how sharp are the corners? Are there any print defects, paper loss? But, you know, it ranges on a complete set anywhere from, you know, $5,000 all the way up to, you know, a couple hundred, $500,000.
Wow. Wow.
Wait a minute. Who's this? Joe Moore. He was only, this is like his first year and a half in the National. I'm sorry. Go ahead, boys. I'm just going to read these baseball cards. This is amazing. These are your cards?
Yes. Yep. I own all of them.
Oh, my. Where do you keep these? I mean, if you don't want people to know, because I don't want anything to happen to you.
Yeah, don't give us your home address or anything.
I know,
I guess it's public knowledge because I have it on my website, but I keep everything in safe deposit boxes or storage offsite, so I don't keep anything at home.
Oh, these are gorgeous. I'm looking at the picture of the baseball card for Lou Gehrig. Oh, this is really great. Again, we've been talking to Michael Osaki, who is he's got his own company, Baseball in the Attic. You can find him if you have any questions about memorabilia, if you want something appraised, you can give him a call. I mean, you can give him an email. I'm sorry. I'm so distracted by these baseball cards.
Stop by his house.
It's okay. People can email me at michael@baseballintheattic.com or even call me at 312-379-9090.
This is really cool. Go to his website and take a look at these really great baseball cards. And you can find out more about perhaps having him speak at an event if you're, you know, if you're a sports fan and you want to learn more. Sounds like Michael is your guy. Michael, I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. We look forward to talking to you again when something comes up.
Thanks, Betty. I had fun.
Oh, I'm glad you did. So,
yay.
Have a great night.
Take care, man.